Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I say I'm an oil man, you will agree.
Do you find me undesirable?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. I think you're the most attractive of all my parents' friends.
I'll be back.
I can write a hit play. Why can't I have a little drink to unwind myself?
That's it, baby, when you got it! Flaunt it! Flaunt it!
Movie time. We're going to step away from the grim news all over the world and take a look at a grim movie. At least in theory, it's a grim movie. But my four kids went to a midnight showing of The Hunger Games, the hugely anticipated movie starring Donald Sutherland and a host of other actors. And it was four thumbs up when they got back from the midnight showing in Brooklyn this morning. Hunger Games. Let's listen to a clip.
Welcome. Tributes, we welcome you. And we wish you happy Hunger Games. And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer join us, a movie critic for Newsday and culture producer for The Takeaway, respectively. Welcome to the program, you guys.
Hi. Thank you.
So Donald Sutherland, they're describing the Hunger Games. Welcome to the Hunger Games. This is not some little talent show or science fair thing that these kids are competing in. Tell us a little bit about it, Rafer.
It's, I guess you could call it a deadly Olympic Games. It's 24 teenagers chosen from various districts in this futuristic world who are forced to compete in a televised reality show and kill each other. And there can be only one winner at the end.
And why is the world like this, Kristen Meinzer? What is the setting of the novels and now the movie?
This is sometime in the future, a non-specified time in North America. There have been uprisings because of the differences between the rich and the poor, and there have been rebellions. And President Snow, who you just heard there, set up a new world where, in order to keep people under his thumb and to prevent them from rising up again, he has to come up with elaborate games such as the Hunger Games, a consumer culture, a fixation on things that really don't matter so that it, you know, numbs the population, the opiate of the masses.
The idea of a game where kids would compete for essentially the future of civilization and die trying has so captivated the hearts of teenagers and preteens around the world that the advanced sales for this movie, which is already open but is opening officially this weekend, exceeds $100 million. Why is this idea of the games so captivating, Rafer?
I think it appeals to a teenage sensibility that it's you against the world, you know, that the world is a tyranny. Everyone is trying to get you to, you know, do the things that you don't want to do and control your life. And I think this appeals to the rebel in every teenager. And the idea of an uprising against authority is always very romantic.
And it concerns some educators. Kristen, in my family, there's actually a protest going on. My fifth graders have been told by their teachers they're not allowed to read the books. They don't circulate them in fifth grade. They're for middle school and above. Of course, my rabble-rousing fifth graders have already read the books and have launched a petition drive in the fifth grade that's gotten them into some sort of trouble. And looking around the country, there's a lot of concern about these books for younger age kids below middle school. What do you think about that?
I think that we underestimate what our kids can handle. I think kids can handle quite a bit if you look at what they're exposed to already on TV. If you look at the news, if you look at any of those things, I think this is very violent, the books and the movie, but it's also very critical of violence. The Hunger Games is actually looking at the violence and saying, look at how awful this is, not look at how fantastic this is.
How challenging do you think, Kristen, was the adaptation here from the book to the movie?
I think one of the big challenges is whenever a franchise is this popular, the Suzanne Collins books are so hugely popular that you want to satisfy the book's fans, but you also want to bring in a new audience. And I think one of the biggest challenges is how do we bring in male viewers? Everybody's convinced that there are going to be a lot of teenage girls flocking to this movie, people who are concerned about the end of Twilight, young girls, but there's definitely the concern of how are we going to appeal to boys.
Well, I had two 13-year-olds and a 10-year-old girl say this was completely awesome and blows away the Twilight series. But my son, my 10-year-old son, was very, he enjoyed the movie immensely, but I think he was a little more ambivalent than the girls. How do you think they did in this sort of gender issue that Kristen raises and also in appealing to people who have read and who have not read The Hunger Games?
Well, I think one thing they've done is they've been very, very careful to stay on this side of a PG-13 rating. The film actually underwent some edits in Britain to achieve a more family-friendly rating. So I think they've avoided any real bloodshed or gore. I do think they concentrate a lot on Katniss Everdeen, the heroine, who's played by Jennifer Lawrence. And she's great, and she's a great female action heroine. If you're looking for a guy protagonist to put yourself into the shoes of, there really aren't very many choices for you in the film. That could be a problem. It could be something they'll fix in future episodes. I'm not sure. But Josh Hutcherson, who plays the male lead, not quite as compelling, I think.
Well, let's get a review. How do you think this movie is? Just straight ahead? Forget about the hype. Forget about the advanced sales. What do you think, Chris? Let's start with you, Rafer.
Okay. I actually wanted a tougher film, and I think there could have been one to make in here. I wanted a film that would have been have some tougher critiques of the media, and I wanted a film that might have been a little more impactful in terms of the violence. Maybe that's just me. I'm not 13 years old, but I felt that the film could have been a little more clear-eyed and have a little more punch to it.
Kristen?
I thought it was pretty great, actually. I really thought they did a good job with creating the arena world where they have to fight to the death. I thought they did a good job with character development. My biggest issues were really just aesthetic ones. As my friend Valerie, who I brought with me to the screening, said, at one point she said, "Where have I seen these special effects before?" Oh, that's right, the Ten Commandments. So some of the special effects don't look quite up to snuff. Some of the details around the edges just don't look as good as they should be. But overall, aside from the aesthetics, I thought the movie was pretty great.
A lot of people have said that The Hunger Games, both in terms of a book franchise and a movie franchise, is a hodgepodge of an enormous number of dystopian references in pop culture right now. In the couple of seconds before we go, do you think you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, I described it as Lord of the Flies meets Network, and there's a lot of Orwellian aspects to it as well. But I think it makes for an interesting teen franchise for that very reason.
Take us out, Kristen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the kids are going to love it, and I think a lot of grown-ups will too.
Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway, co-host of the Movie Date podcast, and Rafer Guzman, co-host of the Movie Date podcast and movie critic for Newsday on The Hunger Games, the biggest movie in the universe right now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.